This is Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Just ahead, the director of Wisconsin Conservation Corps talks with us about how federal cuts to AmeriCorps are impacting its programs in the state.
That's coming up. Now it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. Noah Ovshinsky is in the studio with us. Listeners, that means you provide the largest source of funding here at Wisconsin Public Radio, and this drive is your chance to support all the programs you enjoy. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Hey, Noah.
Hey, good morning, Rob. It's good to be here. Member drives are an important time to make sure the funding is in place for the news and information you rely on from WPR. Your gift funds Wisconsin Today, as well as all the other WPR shows you value. So please give right now as generously as you can at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A really large slice of funding for WPR. The biggest, the most reliable slice is listener support. So while all of our funding sources are important, your contribution makes a huge difference. WPR is the amazing and varied service that it is. Thanks to your support, keep independent, high-quality programs on the air when you give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And when you become a regular listener to Wisconsin Public Radio, you took an important first step, and now you can take the next step and become a financial supporter.
That's an important step because WPR relies on listener support, and it's easy to donate. Decide how much you'd like to give, maybe $10 a month or $120. It's a great starting point. Then make your gift. It takes just a few minutes online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
I've just learned a lot by listening to public radio. I feel like I can use it. It's something I can use in my life and learn more or do something different or think differently. It kind of runs in my family. My mom listens to public radio. My dad listens to public radio. My brother listens to public radio, although I think he's unlucky because he lives in New York and we have the best public radio here. I've traveled around the country and this is the best. I'm Katie Simonson from Burlington. Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for news and information.
Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's the Spring Member Drive, Wisconsin Today with Noah Ovshinsky in the studio with us. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for Wisconsin Public Radio, and that's why your gift of $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, really does have a big impact.
Supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do with just a few minutes of your time. It's all it takes, we promise. All we need is your name, some contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
And then your gift supports the stories, the programs, the conversations that keep you connected to the world. Give right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And you can add the latest WPR t-shirt to your wardrobe. This soft and stylish shirt will let everyone know you are a WPR listener. You can ask for yours when you give $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And the art on the shirt, it shows off Wisconsin Public Radio, of course, and Wisconsin. We got a badger on there. We got some state symbols, a state flower. I've tried to count them all. I got to get a close look at the shirt, Noah, and see how much Wisconsin there is on this one shirt.
It really is a cool shirt. I'm looking forward to getting one as well. You can also become a sustaining member. It is easy to set up convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. You can get started right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We heard from Karen in Stevens Point. Karen says, I rely on WPR every day for news. Thank you so much, Karen. Glad we are there for you. How about you? Do you count on Wisconsin Public Radio each and every day for news, for connection, for companionship, for entertainment, for stories to share with other people? Well, that means something to you, and your gift means a lot to us and the work we do. Make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now is the time to make that gift right before you get the weekend started. Now is the time to make that gift. Don't procrastinate. Support Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Today with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks so much for your gift.
Now, Wisconsin is among nearly two dozen states suing the Trump administration after it effectively dismantled AmeriCorps. That's the 30-year-old federal agency responsible for volunteer service.
Lawsuit claims that at least 85% of AmeriCorps staff were put on administrative leave earlier this month.
The Trump administration says cuts to AmeriCorps were made because of over $40 million of improper payments last year.
The agency dispatches hundreds of thousands of Corps members across the country as part of its service programs.
To learn about the impacts of the cuts on Wisconsin, we turn now to Eric Robertson, director of Wisconsin Conservation Corps, an agency that focuses on environmental restoration projects across this state and the upper Midwest. Eric, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Give us a brief tour of the projects your organization takes on.
Yeah, for the last 16 years, Wisconsin Conservation Corps has been taking on environmental restoration projects throughout Wisconsin, the upper Midwest. Really, what we're doing is improving lives and recruiting, training, and guiding mentor young adults. And what that AmeriCorps funding does is allows us to kind of bridge the gap between the education system and the workforce, the young adults who are coming to join us. And so we've been, you know, tackling everything from constructing trails to doing restoration projects with the National Park Service and beyond. And so it's great to be here talking. Thank you for doing this on Friday with me. It's been giving us a chance to work through some of the models that we needed to do after learning the information on Monday.
As you look at all of these projects that you've done that are in progress, what is the return on investment? What is the value?
Yeah. Lots of studies have been going on this from the Voices of National Service recently published this. And it says for $1 invested, it's about $17 in economic value through private matching and the services rendered through these programs.
As a result of these cuts, you said in a statement that your organization is losing 60 positions, including 43 new AmeriCorps members. What has the loss of these positions meant for projects your organization is working on?
Yeah, so we're doing everything we can to pivot right now. I've been describing it as we're kind of having the fuel removed from the plane while it's in air. And what that does is it gives us a chance right now to pivot and try to maintain our commitments, as we know that some of these projects have been in development for over a year. And some of these members who would have been joining us have committed to us 6 to 9 months ago. And so we're trying to maintain those commitments to the best of our ability. But we know that with these decisions, we won't be able to hold the capacity that we were expecting to hold. And so we're still trying to make sure that we can adjust these models so that we can come out and say that Wisconsin Conservation Corps can operate without these funds, but we are going to need support.
As you talk about fuel removal in mid-flight, I was reading this morning WTAQ in Green Bay. There's $60,000 worth of prairie planting sitting in a greenhouse that need to get in the ground. This was an AmeriCorps project. And so without the help of, you know, without the AmeriCorps members, those seedlings, what's going to happen to them? Can you talk more about projects that are in flux like this?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So in a given year, some of the names throughout the state that would be recognized here with the listeners would be, we have a partnership with the Ice Age Trail with a variety of state parks throughout the region. The North Country Trail crosses through Wisconsin. These projects that we would have been fielding with specifically our CREW program are in jeopardy right now. We are actively fielding the concerns of those partners and trying to best figure out how we can position ourselves as a non-AmeriCorps program, as Wisconsin Conservation Corps, to still field those. If we are unsuccessful, yeah, they will not have the resources to complete these projects. And so just like that story of the seedlings, we have partners who have secured the materials, and without the labor force of Wisconsin Conservation Corps, those projects will not happen.
Eric Robertson with us, director of Wisconsin's Conservation Corps, an agency that focuses on environmental restoration projects across Wisconsin and the upper Midwest. Eric, you know, can you talk about how the Conservation Corps has stepped in when maybe local resources are stretched thin and can't remove invasives or can't get wood chips down or these other things that communities need?
Yeah, sure. If you think about AmeriCorps as a whole, you know, we're providing crucial and critical resources to address community needs. And we're really bridging that through the people who are serving, but it's meeting those community needs through education, through disaster response, through health and environmental stewardship. That's really where we fall in that environmental stewardship category. And so we are really stepping up to fill that void. And what we're doing as an organization here, the nonprofit, is we are taking that heavy burden and the lift to support, guide, and train those folks. And so we really take on that lead while then providing that labor force to those organizations to meet their needs. So it's really finding that balance between, or that harmony between, their project needs, and then we need to find those people to complete those projects, all the while putting them through a professional development program and really increasing that return on investment.
These people you talk about, these AmeriCorps volunteers that are going through this type of project and process, where do they go after you? What have you seen?
Yeah, excellent question. Yeah, in a given year, we host just shy of 100 people coming through a variety of our programs. And what they're coming through is committing their time to this service, and they get a modest living allowance. They walk away with something called an AmeriCorps Education Award that springboards them towards the education sector. And so they walk away with that education award. They go through the modest living allowance. And what happens typically after they finish us is they walk away with an enhanced life skills and work skills and certifications that allow them to enter into the workforce a more developed person. And so we've seen many of success stories of our former participants, our crew members, our crew leaders, and individual placements taking on a position at one of the agencies that has hosted our crews. And so we've had many of success stories that way.
Do these cuts to AmeriCorps affect your organization's trust in relying on federal funds in the future?
It's been a long couple months. We've been hit from a couple different angles as these federal cuts have impacted the project sponsors and partners' ability to host our crews. And now with the cuts to AmeriCorps heading our operating budget, we do have a model that needs to be adjusted very fast. Without the AmeriCorps funding, we're currently, without adjustments, the more we do, the worse position we get in a financial perspective. So typically we are 75%, these project partners are covering our direct costs. And with the support of AmeriCorps, we can bring that up to a whole and continue to move forward. Without that funding, we currently have a model that needs to be adjusted very quickly that we can reduce our overhead costs, reduce our direct expenses while trying to maintain revenue and then rely on community support to get us through this. And we've been there to support the community. And this is one of those unique times where we need to turn and say, we need their support to get through this.
We need their support. Eric, thank you for joining us.
Yep, absolutely.
Eric Robertson, Director of Wisconsin Conservation Corps.
Coming up on Wisconsin Today, the American Lung Association's new report on air quality shows mixed results for Wisconsin, and the head of DNR's air management program responds.
Wisconsin's not currently meeting all standards for ozone. We've had really persistent issues with non-attainment along the Lake Michigan shoreline.
That's next here on WPR News. This is Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Coming up, we learn what a nationwide air quality report has to tell us about air pollution in different parts of Wisconsin.
First, it's the WPR Spring Member Drive. Noah Ovshinsky is in the studio with us. As a WPR listener, you know you're always going to hear something interesting when you tune in. That's thanks to your support. Listeners provide the biggest share of funding for WPR programs. So when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, that means that you make this program and all the other stuff you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio possible.
Your gift during this, our Spring Member Drive, is so important because it directly supports your daily listening. The trustworthy reporting and thought-provoking conversations you come here for are available thanks to you. Choose an amount and then make a gift. That's it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That last conversation, looking at the Wisconsin Conservation Corps, an example of something we do a lot here on Wisconsin Today and a lot that our WPR news team does, taking what might seem like a faraway thing, the federal budget, and saying, okay, what does that mean here in Wisconsin? Who does that affect? What services does it change, cut, enhance, whatever the case may be with a particular story? We do this all the time, and WPR's listeners support it. That means when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make that kind of conversation, that kind of news coverage possible. Choose an amount that works for you. Take a few minutes and make your gift.
And now that you've made the decision to support Wisconsin Public Radio, you might be looking for the best way to make your gift. Well, the answer is, of course, become a sustainer. You decide on a monthly amount to be charged to your bank account or credit card, and you set it up to be ongoing.
A sustaining gift is a powerful way of donating because it provides reliable funding for the programs you count on. You make an easy-to-pay monthly gift. Those donations add up to have a huge impact for WPR. Choose the amount. Maybe it's $10 or $20 a month, and become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, World Press Freedom Day is tomorrow, and it's a chance to reflect on and celebrate the importance of media that serves the public good. Well, WPR is proud to have served the people of Wisconsin for the past 100 plus years with exactly that as our mission. Community support has made this journey possible, and we thank you for your continuing support now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's time for WPR's 2025 t-shirt. This cream-colored shirt features Wisconsin's beloved symbols.
A dairy cow.
A honeybee.
A wood violet.
And Wisconsin Public Radio, of course. Wear your love for WPR on your sleeve. Ask for your t-shirt when you give $20 a month or more. Here's how.
Make that gift. Grab that t-shirt at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. It's Wisconsin Today. Noah Ovshinsky in the studio with us. Your support during the spring member drive makes all the news and conversations and entertainment you enjoy on WPR possible. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month or whatever amount that you choose is the right amount to give.
The little things we spend money on do add up. And maybe you buy a morning coffee, as I did this morning, or candy, which I also did. You might spend $20 a month on small expenses, but they are an important part of your day.
And so is listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. Like the money you spend on a well-deserved treat, make your gift of $20 a month now for the programs that enrich your daily life. Online at WPR.org or call takes just a few minutes at 888-202-2552.
You know, we live in a generous society. We really do. And we're quick to help a neighbor or coworker in need. And we chip in for good causes. And you can continue that tradition of generosity when you support WPR right now.
If you have never given to WPR before, step up and give right now. When you do, you'll fund the programs that you and a lot of other people benefit from every day. Many first-time donors will give $120 or do it as $10 a month as a sustaining gift. The amount, though, is totally up to you. The important thing is, if you've never given before, make that first ever gift at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And this spring, we have another in our series of very attractive, very comfy, very cool WPR t-shirts. You can let the world know you are a WPR fan with this purple and orange Wisconsin-themed design on a cream-colored shirt. It really is very cool. I look forward to getting one for myself and my family. You can ask for yours when you give $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you are a sustaining member, thank you so much for that ongoing support. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose. It takes just a few minutes at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Christine in Oregon says, I trust that WPR will research topics and provide the most accurate information. There's always something interesting. Well, Christine from Oregon, thank you so much for your kind words and your generous support. You can join Christine right now with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You count on us for great conversations, news, and information. We really do count on you to help pay for it all. Step up and join the team right now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks so much for your support.
Now, nearly half of Americans breathe in unhealthy levels of air pollution, and Sheboygan ranks among the 25 worst cities in the nation for ozone pollution in recent years.
That's according to the American Lung Association's new State of the Air report, tracking air quality between 2021 and 2023 to measure dangerous pollutants.
The report graded 29 Wisconsin counties that have air quality data. In the ozone pollution category, more than half of the counties graded got Fs for the number of code orange and red alerts.
We'll learn about state-level efforts to improve air quality with the Wisconsin DNR.
But first, Molly Collins is here, Advocacy Director of the American Lung Association for Wisconsin and South Dakota. Molly, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
What stands out to you from the 2025 findings for our state here in Wisconsin?
This year, the American Lung Association's 26th annual State of the Air report really found that a lot of our air quality got worse here in Wisconsin, especially in the greater Milwaukee area, as well as Green Bay and Dane County. So it's a little disappointing, but we think that there's just a lot of progress to still work on and still be made.
And along those lines, Sheboygan as the 24th worst city in the country for air quality compared to the 228 other metro areas. How should we view what's happening in Sheboygan and communities along the western shore of Lake Michigan?
Yeah, I mean, I think we know that the cities around the lake do get some updraft from winds from Chicago and other sort of big metro areas. And that's what's happening to Sheboygan to some extent. They also produce some of their own pollution with their power plant and some industrial operations in that area. So, Sheboygan's 24, the Milwaukee metro area is number 26 with some of the worst ozone pollution and particle pollution that we've seen in a number of years. And some of that is due to wildfire smoke as well.
The wildfire smoke. Yeah, I mean, we've seen the heat and drought, wildfires, certainly driving forces of unhealthy air. And the state DNR is reporting seeing double the average of wildfires for this time of year. How are wildfires affecting our air?
Yeah, I mean, I think we know that climate change is making wildfires just more frequent and more intense. And so we should think about how we can protect human health from those impacts, whether it is monitoring air quality on your own with an app on your phone. There are a couple different things that allow us to do that to really then, take protective measures on our own to make sure that, you're not going outside if it looks like a red or a purple day. You're not opening your windows. You're not breathing that air.
But you really have to take that on yourself to make those adjustments.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are certainly policy actions that our elected officials can take to protect human health. But I think it's both of those things, right? It's a both end. It's making sure that we're protecting ourselves and that we're requiring our elected officials to, do other things to protect our health, like making sure that we're keeping our EPA air quality standards strong and making sure that we're evaluating things like prescribed burns to lessen wildfire impacts if they happen.
I think it's important to note that the data from this State of the Air report predates the current White House, which is reconsidering EPA regulations that promote cleaner air. With that in mind, what might the future hold for curbing pollution, air pollution here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, I mean, I think we really want to, make sure our elected officials are listening to us and keeping air quality standards strong. We've seen really great benefits from the EPA and the Clean Air Act. The Lung Association started measuring these things in 2000. Since then, we've seen really pronounced improvement in both ozone and particle pollution, thanks in large part to policy under the Clean Air Act to clean up power plants, clean up gasoline and diesel fuels and replace some older, dirty diesel engines. So those things have been saving people's lives, and we need to make sure that progress continues.
So those are some bright spots that you see. But when you look at these F grades for, you know, about two dozen or more counties in Wisconsin, does that match what you've seen in past years?
Yeah, I'll also mention that, you know, we have very strong air quality measurement standards. So we use the government's own measuring tools. So we see these F grades in about two dozen Wisconsin counties, but we're also only measuring about two dozen Wisconsin counties. Not all places are being measured in the state because we just haven't prioritized putting monitors on the ground in all of those places as a government. But that is something that we can work on, certainly. We just need to make sure that folks understand that dirty air is a dangerous public health issue. If you have asthma, if you're prone to a heart attack or a stroke, those are all things that can be caused by this type of pollution.
Molly, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That was Molly Collins of the American Lung Association. She's Advocacy Director for Wisconsin and South Dakota. We're talking about the association's latest National Air Quality Report and how Wisconsin measures up. Now we're joined by the Director of the Air Management Program at the Wisconsin DNR, Gail Good. Gail, welcome.
Hi, Kate. Thank you so much for having me.
The DNR releases air quality trends annually as well. Are the trends that you're seeing in Wisconsin similar to what is being reflected in the American Lung Association's report?
Yes. Yeah. Actually, the American Lung Association State of the Air report, which examines particle pollution and ozone pollution across the country, actually relies on monitoring networks and official monitoring data. So our Wisconsin Air Monitoring Network data is represented in this report. It's examined a little bit differently by the American Lung Association for this report rather than the way EPA uses our air monitoring data to compare to their health-based standards. That said, the American Lung Association report presents a really thought-provoking look at the quality of our air year after year. Wisconsin is currently meeting the most recent particle pollution standards across the state. And this report, the American Lung Association report, includes also the 2023 data, which, if you recall, 2023, that spring and summer was really heavily impacted by intense Canadian wildfire smoke, which our monitors did record. The smoke event days in 2023 led to really high concentrations of particle pollution, some of which lingered for days. That said, there was an area in the American Lung Association State of the Air report in Wisconsin that did show up on the list of cleanest cities, and that's the Duluth area, which we're obviously very connected to.
I want to jump in on the drought and wildfire situation, because Wisconsin has had nearly 600 fires so far this year, and that's according to your DNR wildfire dashboard. So is this a concern in terms of the air quality?
Any increase in the frequency or longevity or intensity of wildfire activity that we're seeing in the U.S. or in Canada will increase the probability of air quality being negatively impacted. What we've been really seeing lately is, you know, where we've seen wildfires and wildfire smoke, this has typically affected us kind of in the later summer. But in recent years, the wildfire season has been starting earlier, and that has been impacting air quality here. For example, the first spring advisories for wildfire smoke were issued in May for both 2023 and 2024. And before that, it had been more than a decade since Wisconsin had experienced an air quality advisory due to wildfire smoke in the spring.
Now, the national report from the American Lung Association only measures about 29 Wisconsin counties that contribute air quality data, and this leaves out so much of northern counties. What is known about air quality trends in these other places?
Regulatory monitoring, like our network, is of very high quality, but it's also very costly to operate. So it's just not possible to have monitors everywhere. So we have a lot of requirements that we must follow about where monitors are sited and why. We do generally see that where we do have monitors in the north, those tend to be some of our cleanest monitors that we're seeing for a variety of pollutants. In fact, I already mentioned, you know, one, the kind of Duluth Superior area being showing up as one of the 15th cleanest cities in the American Lung Association State of the Air Report. I wanted to mention here that annually we must go through an exercise to detail our monitoring network and make plans for the upcoming calendar year available to people to provide feedback on. We're actually just about to put our annual network plan out for public comment. We invite people to look it over, provide comment on it, ensure that, you know, we're meeting all of our requirements for the monitoring network. We do respond to all comments and share them with EPA for their consideration of our network.
In some communities, like Beloit has had a Purple Air monitors on loan. Superior has had these air quality monitors in multiple fire departments. Why do cities like Beloit and Superior do their own Purple Air monitoring?
Yeah, outdoor air quality monitoring using some of these lower cost sensors has really gained popularity over the last several years. I think that's as people become more aware of air quality impacts on their health. Low-cost Purple Air sensors, like you mentioned, can be a really good option to fill in the spatial gaps between regulatory monitoring. So while these sensors are not regulatory quality and can't be used as such, they can give us information about how air quality in a local area may be changing.
As you bring in public comments about air quality and go through them, I mean, this comes at a time when the White House is reconsidering EPA regulations that would promote cleaner air. What might happen to Wisconsin's efforts to curb air pollution?
We absolutely track rulemakings that go on that are very impactful to our air quality. And we're engaged on multiple levels, especially on ozone, because that is a pollutant that we've had difficulty meeting standards on in the past.
Gail, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
That is Gail Good, Director of the Air Management Program at the Wisconsin DNR. And earlier we heard from Molly Collins of the American Lung Association in Wisconsin. We talked about the State of the Air Report findings from the American Lung Association.
Coming up, new historical markers tell more of the story of Wisconsin, including a look at ethnic and working class history in Milwaukee.
You didn't need glamour to be something in Milwaukee, and that's the place that I love. And I love knowing that Chinese people had a place in that story.
That's next here on WPR News. It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. If you've traveled around Wisconsin, you've probably seen some of the state's official historical markers, and there are some new markers on the way.
Partnering with local ambassadors, the State Historical Society is placing 12 historical markers across Wisconsin communities this year to share stories that have been overlooked in state history.
The markers highlight stories like the first African-American-owned hospital in Milwaukee County called the St. Anthony Hospital, and the story of Ojibwe treaty rights and the Walleye Wars.
Mallory Hansen is the statewide services coordinator for the Wisconsin Historical Society and lead collaborator on this historical marker project. Mallory, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Excited to be here.
We've got this round of 12 new historical markers coming up around the state. We're going to dig into some particular ones with the Organization of Chinese Americans, but tell us in general, what was the goal? What was the purpose in this latest round of markers?
With our mission at the Historical Society, everything we do is to connect people to the past by collecting, preserving, and sharing stories. The markers program is one of the ways that we do provide that access to history. And a few years ago, the Society launched an initiative to look at all of our existing historical markers. And something that we discovered is that while there are many incredible stories told through that program, there are some gaps in some of the stories and histories that are told. So we were very fortunate to partner with the William Pomeroy Foundation and are focusing on re-envisioning our state historical markers program. So these 12 markers that will be installed over the next year or so are focusing on Black history, women's history, Indigenous people's history, as well as recent immigration history and other topics that are currently underrepresented.
Can you highlight a couple more of those?
Absolutely. So one of them that we're working on is going to be installed in Barron County. This is in collaboration with Barron County Historical Society. It's going to share the story and effort to reclaim Ojibwe treaty rights and the ceded territory. Some of the other ones that we have planned as well are going to be going in Prairie du Chien and looking at sharing stories of enslaved persons who lived in the area during the 19th century.
If somebody wanted to set a goal of seeing all of Wisconsin's markers, is there a way to track them and find them all pretty easily?
Absolutely. So we do have an interactive interactive map on our website. So you can actually see the list of, I believe we're up to 620 now. So if you are looking for a good summer road trip, definitely encourage people to check that out.
Mallory, thanks a lot for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Mallory Hansen is the statewide services coordinator for the Wisconsin Historical Society. She's the lead collaborator on the Historical Marker Project. Now we turn to Adam Carr with the Organization of Chinese Americans. They're creating two markers in Milwaukee County. Adam, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
We've got two markers here, one at the Forest Home Cemetery, I understand, one on MLK Drive, looking at parts of Chinese American history. Can you share some of the history you're trying to convey with these markers?
Absolutely. So to give you a little background on myself, I recently turned 40. I'm from Milwaukee. My family moved here in 1985. My mother is Chinese. My father is Irish. And having grown here, really grown up here in the abundance of the city, I know a lot of great Milwaukee stories and history. That's been part of my work too. But a lot of the Chinese history that could have been mine that we're bringing forward in these markers, actually, they were not stories that I grew up knowing. It was not history that was part of the canon of Milwaukee and Wisconsin for Chinese people or anyone really. So these two markers are very meaningful for me because it's history that I wish I'd had growing up here. It's history that now children and Wisconsinites, Chinese folks, Milwaukeeans will have here in Milwaukee. So is that some of that history that's real is not invisible. And the two markers that we are creating through this program are commemorating the history of Chinese laundries in Milwaukee, as well as the Qingming tradition, which is a spiritual and cultural tradition around cleaning grave sites of Chinese ancestors that happens on an annual basis in Forest Home Cemetery.
And can you talk a little more about the history of Chinese laundries in Milwaukee?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I went to grade school downtown in Milwaukee at a school named Goldemeyer. And Goldemeyer was, you know, it's an elementary school right on the edge of downtown. And at one point within, you know, a 1 or 2 mile radius of that school, there were dozens of Chinese laundries that were part really of the industrial engine of Milwaukee. These were part of the machine about 100 years ago when Milwaukee was the machine shop of the world. And, you know, before deindustrialization, when the industries of Milwaukee were mighty, there was a place within that system for Chinese people that was largely through restaurants and laundries, which were, you know, the businesses that were oftentimes the containers in which Chinese people could live into in America.
Can you talk about the challenges of trying to make sure you include all of these stories of the different communities that made up Milwaukee at a time when there's kind of pushback against representation and we see historical photos being removed from federal archives and things like that? Is it weird to do this kind of work at this time?
I'll answer it this way. We're in Wisconsin. This is Wisconsin Public Radio, and we have a lot of prairie landscape in the state, and the prairie landscape is activated by fire. I feel like at this moment, the landscape that I know, the history that we hold, the ways that we understand each other as neighbors, I feel like there's a fire raging in some ways. And as part of being activated by fire in the prairie landscape, there are seeds that wake up by that fire. And I think right now, for me personally, I am feeling very drawn to the seeds that I feel are important to protect for our next generations and really our stories, who we are, where we come from. That's not something that we can debate, actually. And I think for those of us who have not felt the license to claim who we are and where we come from, I think now is more important than ever to find those seeds, especially in Wisconsin, where it does feel like the prairie fire is raging, so that we know this landscape can continue forward. So, you know, historical markers, I know, are just part of that too. You know, they're not going to light the world on fire. But what I also know is the work to preserve history and to make it less invisible and put it in concrete spaces that we share. That's an act of hope. And I really do appreciate the Wisconsin Historical Society saying now is a more critical time than ever to make sure the story that we tell about Wisconsin represents as many of us as the state actually does.
Adam, getting back to these markers, I understand one of the lessons you're hoping that they convey is the dignity of work and labor, as seen, say, in a Chinese laundry, but obviously a more universal message than that. What do you mean by that?
Chinese people were part of this incredible engine of Milwaukee. And, you know, the era of socialism in Milwaukee was one where labor, being blue collar, being a worker, didn't mean less than. It actually meant something very prideful. To be a worker in Milwaukee, to be blue collar, meant being middle class. It meant being, it actually meant that you had some power in the world being a worker. And for me, knowing my mother coming from Los Angeles, her family coming over to this country, or my family, my grandparents making that choice, and my mother growing up in a laundry was not an easy thing. The world that my grandfather and grandmother wanted for my mother and her siblings is one that there were Chinese people in Milwaukee working to create. And, you know, as the son of my mother, and thinking about what it meant to grow up working in a laundry and the incredible labor that represented for her and her siblings in their family business, that's what made my life possible. That's what made, and that isn't just a Chinese story. You know, that actually is a Milwaukee story. That is a Wisconsin story, that those that came before us, their toil, their labor, it was an act of faith for the future. And I think there's an incredible dignity in that.
Adam, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Rob.
That's Adam Carr, member of the Wisconsin chapter of the Organization of Chinese Americans. He was a lead ambassador on the new historical markers we were talking about. Earlier, we spoke with Mallory Hansen, statewide services coordinator for the Wisconsin Historical Society.
Now it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here in the studio with Noah Ovchinsky. We are here to ask you to invest a few minutes of time on a Friday to support your WPR listening.
And it is that listener support that makes up the largest piece of the funding for the programs you count on. That is why your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
Wisconsin Public Radio is listener-powered, and that means your support makes WPR's news and the analysis, the conversations you hear, and all of the weekend fun programs available not only for yourself, but for the entire community. So thank you so much for making WPR's public service mission possible with your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, I think of Wisconsin today as a wonderful snapshot. It's like a Polaroid of like what's happening in the state from day to day. It's a pulse. Exactly right. And if this is your pulse, if this show is something that you rely on to get a sense of what's happening in the state, whether it's breaking news or what's happening in your community, the environment, agriculture, the business world. If this is the kind of programming that you rely on, now is the time to show your support, because WPR, well, it is listener supported. And that means that when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make Wisconsin Today and this hour and many, many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take a few minutes and make your gift.
This member drive, let the world know you're a fan with the new WPR t-shirt. It is comfy, cream-colored shirt celebrating Wisconsin's beloved symbols, including WPR in the mix. Ask for yours when you give $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And here at Wisconsin Public Radio, our shareholders are members, the listeners like you who value thoughtful, independent programming and support it with their donations. We're sure that you can hear this difference every day, and that is why you choose Wisconsin Public Radio.
Right now, we're asking you to become a shareholder, if you will, in WPR. Make your monthly gift online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
At 6 o'clock, as soon as my husband gets out of bed, I turn on the radio in the room, and it's on the whole day. I decided to become a sustaining member because it's so convenient. I've been a contributor to public radio probably for close to 20 years. It's just a very convenient way for the money to come out of your checking account on a monthly basis. My name is Nancy, and I'm from Sheldon, Wisconsin, and I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too.
That's right. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation this spring member drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Noah Ovshinsky. Join in with your gift right now because WPR's essential service is available to you and your community thanks to your support.
Maybe you found yourself thinking about something in a new way after you've listened to Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, you can count on hearing multiple points of view on these talk shows. Thanks to the producers who track down the interesting and very knowledgeable guests, some of the guests you've already heard today. WPR is listener-supported, and that means you make eye-opening programs like this one possible when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And sometimes you do actually get more than you pay for, and we think WPR is one place where that is true every single day. So consider a gift of $2 a day to support the radio programs you love.
You can't buy much for $2, especially these days, but at Wisconsin Public Radio, $2 a day makes a lot of news and information. Interviews like the ones you've heard today, it makes it all possible. That $2, that works out to about $60 a month, and you can make that gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And however you choose to give, thank you so much. Your support is powerful, and there's still something more you can do to help. You can encourage a friend to join the Wisconsin Public Radio community.
And you can add the latest WPR t-shirt to your wardrobe. This very soft and stylish, I got to tell you, very stylish shirt. Can't wait to get one myself. It will let everyone know you are a WPR listener. You can ask for yours when you give $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And become a sustaining member. It is easy to set up the convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card, and you can get started right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Jacob in Madison says, we love WPR for hearing stories from across Wisconsin. Well, Jacob from Madison, thank you so much for your generous support and your kind words. We super appreciate it. You can join Jacob right now with your gift on this Friday. Make that gift right now.
And you can spread the love, tell your friends and family that you support WPR, inspire them to make a gift, get talking about WPR, and explore us. Go to WPR.org. You can also call 888-202-2552 to make your gift right now, to make a difference today on this Friday. Don't put it on your to-do list. Join with your donation, with your gift now. It is powerful. It truly makes a difference. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
52. And when you do, think about all of the programs that enrich your life, things that you've learned on WPR, places you've gone on Wisconsin Today, to new communities you haven't been to before. There is so much to learn on WPR. There is so much to discover. And it might be the news or the music, whatever it is, make your gift now at WPR.org. And thank you so much for your support.
Wisconsin Today producers include Trevor Hook, Courtney Everett, and Mackenzie Crummy. Our technical directors are Sarah Hopeful and Tyler Ditter. Learn more about us at WPR.org/Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to WPR News.